On this day in 1945, Germany signed the Act of Unconditional Surrender to the Allied troops, thus ending the Second World War in Europe. This war had raged since September 1939. Battles would continue to be fought in the Far East until August of that year. Today, 75 years on, we take time to remember those who died in the war, to give thanks for 75 years of peace, and to ponder what we need to do to construct a good, peaceful, honest, and open society. As before, there is an accompanying order of service, and today's music draws on the choir's recording library, a music especially recorded for this service. We have just heard Hubert Parry's setting of the metaphysical poem My Soul, There Is a Country, a poem which expresses the hope of a place where grows the flower of peace, and where sweet peace sits crowned with smiles. As we mark this anniversary, may we indeed pray for peace, a peace that grows and blossoms within ourselves, within our society, and within our world. Let us pray. O ever-living and ever-loving God, we remember those whom you have gathered from the storms of war into the peace of your presence. May that same peace calm our fears, bring justice to all peoples, and establish harmony among the nations. Through Jesus Christ, our brother and our Lord. Amen.
A reading from the fourth chapter of the book of Micah. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised up above the hills. Peoples shall stream to it, and many nations shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples, and shall arbitrate between strong nations far away. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall all sit under their own vines and under their own fig trees, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken.
The reading is taken from the 21st chapter of the Revelation of St. John and is read in Italian. Poi vidi una nuova terra senza mari e un nuovo cielo, perché il primo cielo e la prima terra erano scomparsi. E io, Giovanni, vidi la città santa, la nuova Gerusalemme, scendere dal cielo da parte di Dio, splendente, bella come una sposa alle sue nozze. E udii una voce proveniente dal trono che diceva, «Ecco, ora la casa di Dio è fra gli uomini. Egli vivrà con loro ed essi saranno il suo popolo. Sì, Dio stesso sarà fra loro. Egli asciugherà tutte le lacrime dai loro occhi e non ci sarà più morte, né lutto, né lamento, né dolore, perché tutte le cose di prima sono scomparse. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God will wipe all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Here ends the reading.
Like many people, I am spending this time of lockdown at home. For me, home is in the village of Oberkunnersdorf in East Germany, a few miles away from the borders of Poland and the Czech Republic. The village is very beautiful and it's a UNESCO heritage site because of the high concentration of Umgebindehäuser, that is a form of building houses with wood and stone that's local to this area. The village was founded in the early 12th century and expanded hugely in the 18th with the arrival of Protestants expelled from the Habsburg Empire. Today it's about 15 miles from the Polish border, but until 1945, the German state of Silesia separated it from Poland. Most of Silesia was returned to Poland as part of the Potsdam Conference, and the residents there had a very limited time to leave. Many of them travelled across Silesia and settled in villages just inside the Saxon border, which had also become the border of Germany. And again, when a new border was created in 1949, there was more population change as a large chunk of the population moved to East Germany, fleeing from the Democratic Republic of Germany. Like many villages, towns and cities across Europe, the war dead are commemorated here in Oberkunnersdorf. Their commemorations tell the history of this part of the world. The first memorial, erected in 1872, talks about those who found glory in the battlefield of the Franco-Prussian War. Then a memorial garden beside the church was built to remember those who died in the First World War. Like elsewhere, this has the largest number of names on it, and it is accompanied by the words, Our beloved dead. The glory of the Franco-Prussian War has been dispelled. The final memorial is in several parts and more complicated. Inside the lych gate are inscribed in bronze the names of those from the village who died in the Second World War, with the dates 1939 to 1949. But then also in the Garden of Remembrance is another stone and another plaque with the words, In remembrance of those who died in the Second World War, as well as all victims of arbitration and tyranny. And here the dates given are 1933 to 1989. Down the road from the church is the village square with yet another stone. This is inscribed with the words Auferstanden aus Ruinen, resurrected from the ruins, the first line of the national anthem of the old East Germany. Resurrected from the ruins was a vision of a new way of life. Now, this isn't the place to discuss the failures or successes of the German Democratic Republic, but instead it is the place to discuss visions of how we can form societies that flourish. Both of the readings which we heard from the scriptures today are visionary. The prophet Micah was writing in the face of huge political uncertainty. The tiny state of Israel to which he belonged was facing invasion from the mighty Assyrian Empire. Threats to its very existence, its cultures, its ways of life were looming large. Yet despite all this fear, despite this anxiety, he has a vision for nations to come together, to gather together, and to live together. Through this sharing of life, people will no longer learn war, and they will turn the energy used in combat into vigour to allow society to flourish. Spears are turned into ploughshares so that the land can be worked, so that people can be fed and nourished. And swords into pruning hooks, again so that vitality can be used to make societies flourish. Today we are celebrating peace and not victory. Today we acknowledge the pain and the difficulties that are often hidden in war. The end of the Second World War was not perhaps so clear-cut as we have been presented. Some prisoners of war weren't released until well into the 1950s. Those suffering from psychological illnesses endured this for the rest of their lives. People were uprooted because of political changes. All of these are often the unspoken consequences of war. War can never be glorious. Its impacts go beyond those directly affected because of gunshots or bombs. War has hugely negative economic and political impacts, and all of this and many more lead to heightened anxiety or mental scarring. The reading from the Book of Revelation acknowledges some of this pain, because in St. John's vision for a new world, a heavenly Jerusalem, there shall no longer be any more pain, nor sorrow, nor tears, for the former things have passed away. Again, Revelation points to a future society where people live together and get on with life. Today we celebrate peace. Yes, a peace in Europe which has, over the last 75 years, been shaky. I come from Northern Ireland and I remember too well the troubles. And of course the Cold War was a 40-year threat to peace. But despite these, peace has endured. And today we stand on a new age. Corona has blown issues of Brexit out of the water. Angela Merkel has said that the COVID crisis is the worst threat to Europe since the Second World War. So today, when our thoughts turn to past commemorations, let us also think of the future. What is our vision for a post-corona world? The combination of corona and this anniversary gives us the opportunity to take stock of what is important to ourselves, to our communities, and to our world. Peace is not something that we should take for granted. It is something which is precious, which we cherish, and which we need to work hard at to keep. The days in which we live remind us of this, at a time when otherwise we can indeed take peace for granted. In the chapel, most of the worship we use is taken from the Book of Common Prayer, which has had various revisions from 1549 until 1662. Aside from the poetry and the beauty of the language, this book appeals to me because it treats peace as something very precious. There are numerous prayers for peace within it. Peace in our time, the peace which the world cannot give, the peace that passeth our understanding. And so today, as we celebrate peace, and as we focus our thoughts on how we can, in our own times and in our own ways, contribute to making peace last. Of course, that does not mean that we ignore evil and tyranny. No, we must name it and call it out, and do so before lives are lost in striving for peace. For to do so means knowing our convictions and having the courage to act on them. Each of us will have our own sets of principles and influences. And those we hear today, from Micah and from Revelation, speak about living life to the full, in community with each other, and of using our skills for the transformation of our society and our world. Transformation is a core principle of Christianity, and indeed of many faiths, because ultimately they are about getting on with living the life that God has ordained for each and every one of us, and of living a life in peace. The choir will now sing the anthem "Verleih uns Frieden gnädiglich," a setting by Felix Mendelssohn of words from the Latin liturgy translated by Martin Luther. We use these words too in the chapel because they form the basis of the response at evensong. Give peace in our time, O Lord, because there is none other that fighteth for us, but only thou, O God. And this anthem, like the final hymn, has been recorded especially for this service by the choir in their homes and edited together by the junior organ scholar. Give peace in our time, O Lord, is a prayer for today, not only on this anniversary of VE Day, but also in our current circumstances. So as we listen to this anthem, may we give our respect and honour to those who have died because of wars, and may we, in our own time, pray and act as best as we can, so that peace and life can flourish in our communities, so that then we can indeed heed the prophet Micah's call to turn swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. Amen.
Trusting in the promises of God and with faith in his mercy, let us pray to the Lord. Let us give thanks for those who brought peace to Europe through their sacrifice. We pray for nations still devastated by war, for their people and their leaders, and for those who suffer the effects or memories of past wars, for veterans, for those who mourn, and for all innocent victims whose lives have been shattered by the cruelty of others. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us give thanks for those who work for peace throughout the world, and for all who strive to bring an end to injustice and oppression. We pray for those in our own day who have grown weary or lost hope as a result of violence or terror, for all refugees and displaced people, and for those who seek to address the causes of discord and distrust. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us give thanks for the reconciliation of former enemies, for the flourishing of goodwill between them, and for the many blessings we enjoy as a result of the sacrifices which have been made for peace. We pray for the young people of our own day and for all who will shape the future of our world, that they may be inspired by those who have gone before them to serve as they have been served and work towards a culture of peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In silence, we remember those from this college who died in conflict and war. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, let there be pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. For thy mercy and thy truth's sake, Amen. As our Saviour Christ has taught, so we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Oh,
The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of the God of love, who is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, rest, abide, and remain with you this day and for evermore. Amen. The Lord preserve your going out and your coming in. Alleluia, alleluia. From this time forth, for evermore. Alleluia, alleluia.